1934.
Well, yeah. Is it going?
Yes, it's going, the red light.
All right, now, you're going to tell me.
Les Michelson drove a beer truck for Hugo Lorenzen. So I went with him. And we went, made all the rounds, and we stopped in Lakeview. And we walked in there, and they ordered the beer. We carried, I helped Les carry it in there, and he says, the bartender was there, and they found out, he says, oh, he asked Les who I was. Well, he says, Kelly. Oh, he says, I know some Kellys around, used to know around Arcadia. He said, my name is Alan. I found out it was Dad's cousin. Now, what his name was, I don't know. He told me he was Dad's cousin. Now, that's the only Alan I've ever met.
Okay, I heard from the one. Turn it off.
Is that Alan? It's all Alan.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, why don't you wait until...
He had the longest bar.
Longest straight bar.
In the state of Iowa. It was 102 feet long.
With 13 bartenders.
What was the name of the tavern? You don't remember.
It was a saloon.
It was a saloon.
And your mother worked in there.
No,
not that one.
No, she didn't work there.
What
is this about the Council Oak store? I can't...
That's where the restaurant.
And he had a restaurant.
And then he moved across the street.
To what?
He built one.
He built a restaurant again?
Yeah.
But you know, he was a miller by trade, no.
But he never practiced a miller.
He never practiced a miller. Now, where was all this property that he owned?
Well, the only property that I know are the restaurants.
The restaurants.
Yeah.
But did he own the real estate property or just the buildings and just the restaurants? Don't know. But he owned that 5 acres with that home.
Yeah.
Did you say it was 5 acres? It sure seems like to me it was bigger than that. I know which house you're talking about now.
But it had a big barn, and then remember that the black and white view we had.
Well, in fact, also, it was a very narrow strip of property.
Yeah, it went back.
All the way. It went very. And then further on down the street was Hermicky Station.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Right? See, I got it.
And when they sold that place, the next block east, going toward Hermicky Station. And 1, 2, 3.
Well, that's the call house you're talking about.
That's right.
That's where I was born.
Right.
And you were born on the street, on the house, a smaller house.
Not in the photographs.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Okay. Dale was born across the street in a smaller house.
On that same street.
On that same street.
I thought it was you.
Oh.
See, that's why.
I was born behind Stockton Studio on Main Street.
Who delivered you? Do you know what doctor?
Do you have a doctor?
A doctor? I don't think there's even a doctor.
Your mother just dropped them out yet.
Well, in those days, I knew that. They didn't even have midwives.
No. Your mother, she... What happened that time?
Dale was born, I remember. They lived in that...
That little house.
That old, across the street, you know, where you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street in that little house, next to Lorenzen. What is the guy in the garage there? Curtis. Beautiful Curtis. That's the one, that's where Mother had her first haircut. She had the first bob hair in the town of Boise.
And they all.
And everybody said, Mary Kelly, you're a Boise.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And then, the first bobbed hair.
She had the first bobbed hair.
Now, can you tell me what year this was, approximately?
Oh, what year it was.
Well, I'm just asking.
And Betty was down there at the same time, and then Betty cut
now,
Mother's hair.
Now, if you had Alma, she might remember that.
No, I don't know. Alma wasn't there.
Oh,
there. Betty was there.
She was married her first time then, I think.
Yeah.
And
that's after she dumped Dad.
Yeah,
you knew that.
Yeah.
They went together, I know.
Well, he tried to go together with him.
But Betty was down.
He got too afraid, so she was scared of him.
He was too fast, as she put it.
Yeah, that I believe.
But she, Betty cut Mother's hair. She wanted a haircut in the summertime. Because I can remember cutting the hair, the mosquitoes were bad. It was a little fire, the smoke was there. And Dad had a hammock cut between two trees.
A what? A hammock cut between two trees.
He always had a hammock. Dad always had a hammock.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, he always liked to read in bed, too.
And Betty cut Mother's hair, so she had the first bob hair. Well, Betty was a Cherokee, and Mother turned around and cut bob
Betty's hair.
Uh-huh.
And, Mother, that was terrible cutting your hair. The old lady living next door made curtains. See, there's an old lady there.
Hey, tell him about your mother and the old car going down, the car caught catching on fire.
Yeah.
Was it Model T?
Yeah.
Model T. Did you hear about that?
No, I haven't heard that one.
Oh,
your mother, nothing bothered your mother. She took everything in stride and don't care what it was. That's before either you or Dale was
born.
Born. We was going out to the country to get AIDS.
Him and her.
She, who was driving the car?
Mother.
The Model T.
Oh, Mother Gloria drove. And she took, I think, Lily Kimball was with her.
Whose car was it?
I think it was Dad's car.
He had a car?
Or Grandma's car. I don't know.
I don't think Dad ever had a car.
Oh, yeah. He had no one.
But go on.
Anyway, we got out up there. No, I'll tell you whose car it was. John D. Lennon.
Oh, okay.
She borrowed it from him. So we got out about 5 miles out in the country, and smoke started coming up the sea.
So they jumped down.
And I seen it. And me, I was just a kid. Oh, Mom, let's get out. Jump out, jump out, let's get out. Mother, she calmly got out of the car, took the stove over in the ditch, stood on the gas tank, went up the eggs, come back and picked the seat up.
On
the way back.
That's really what we call being casual.
She was. That's the way she did it.
You know,
nothing bothered your mother. I don't give a damn what.
When she came here in 1959, we had just bought our first car in 59. And I
hadn't
even driven the thing. And
that's got to be.
She says, I want to drive.
I want to drive that car. And she got in that car and drove all over.
My mother?
Yes.
You bet she did. And then she was more left than you think she was.
So every year we went on a picnic.
We went out that same year.
And you talked about shooting a rifle.
And we went out to the schoolhouse out here on
she
Pacific.
See that twig up there? She kicked that twig.
Yeah, she was the best.
Now you're telling your stories I'm not aware of. This was when in 59, did you say?
We have bought our 59 Ford at the in September of 59.
She came from what? From California?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And she was shooting a rifle?
No, that's
that was the
younger.
Same year.
That was the same
year. Because she'd done a couple things. And I was so shocked at such a crack.
I can tell you something about Mother told me.
Go on.
Of course, Mother was a tomboy. She says, I was an outlaw. She says, I was always
nothing.
How? Go on. I didn't hear that. What'd you say?
She was an outlaw.
What do you mean by an outlaw?
Well, she's a tomboy.
Okay, all right. I understand.
So,
always in for a good time.
Grandpa Ronald got mad. If she did something to Grandpa Ronald, Grandpa Ronald got mad. And he chased her. Grandma found an apple tree. And he chased her with blacksmith.
No way was she coming out.
So he went and got the axe.
Cut the apple tree down?
To get her out of the tree.
To get her out of the tree? Oh, that's priceless.
That's what I say.
How old was, you don't know how old she was then, but.
No, she says, I think she told me she was about 12 years old at that time. She says she was always in trouble. Grandpa was always after her.
And then Alma said she only went to fourth grade, Kelly, in school. She said your mother and Emma and Annie Hewitt was the three that didn't get the education.
That's right.
Yeah. Your mother didn't read or write, which I didn't know until the latter years.
She tried to write. In fact, I've got a recipe at home in her handwriting.
Yeah.
But she was a cook in that restaurant, huh? My grandpa had the restaurant. Mother was the head cook, and they had five cooks in the restaurant.
What was the name of the restaurant?
Reimer's.
Reimer's Restaurant?
It's the only restaurant in town.
Five cooks in that
town?
Five
cooks. They served as high as 300 meals at noon.
Well, he...
You're kidding me.
No.
They never had trucks. They drove the cattle in, and the farmers brought their hogs in the stockyard in Holstein and Fox Wagons. And every Saturday, they served over 100 to 200 people at that restaurant.
Bob, that here, tell me
now,
about
the
railroad.
Now, wait a minute, you said 300, now you're saying 100. I'm getting...
Well, at one, the biggest meal they ever had was 300. I can remember that because they told me.
And what did they get, 50 cents for the dinner?
50 cents for... That included your vegetables, all the coffee you wanted to drink, meat, potatoes, gravy, vegetables,
and a piece of pie. And a piece of
pie, yeah.
50 cents.
50 cents.
Usually roast pork, I would bet.
Roast pork and roast beef.
Well, Kelly, as it was a training
and
venue.
And Mom was the head cook? And there were how many cooks? Five other cooks?
Lily Kimball was one. Gusta Olson, you remember her?
Yes.
And Mother, and I can't think of who the other two were. That's another thing. I cut the Olson.
Well, she was Norwegian.
Tell me about it.
She'd get mad at me. She'd always see, we lived in the restaurant, and I was a little snot, I guess.
Ice cream.
She says, what do you want for supper tonight? I said, pork chops. Okay. So Gusta took out time. Fried me two pork chops, fried potatoes, and cooked. I said, I want.
He was
she
spoiled.
She picked me up with the shoulders and jammed me down in that chair. I thought I'd go through the bottom.
You ate the pork chops.
You saw Dean, you eat them. My God, I ate them.
That's funny. But you say that the farmers had no way to get their... They drove their...
Because they had stockyards there at home.
I know that, because the railroad...
The train.
Chicago Northwestern came through there.
They had no trucks in the days.
No trucks. So they drove their animals to Holstein?
The cattle. They herded them.
Well, what about the hogs?
Hogs, you can't herd hogs, they brought them in box wagons.
Box wagon?
Drawn by a team of horses.
Okay, all right. I know you can't herd hogs. I found that out the hard way.
Oh.
No, you can't herd hogs.
All right, what about the ice cream?
Oh, wait,
now did I stop you?
No, go on.
No, in the restaurant, see, every day I was allowed one ice cream cone.
One ice cream cone?
A day.
That's all Grandpa would allow?
Yep, that's at noon.
What's that?
At noon.
At noon, you got one ice cream cone. How old were you?
Were you going to school?
Yeah.
At the time he was there?
Yeah. It was in that early school, so I'd come up there and get my ice cream cone. I could help myself. First, I took the best one. And I could have two different ice cream cones. That was mine. I could have one ice cream cone. Then I got smart.
You thought?
Yes, you did.
I thought, I get my ice cream cone, I get a teaspoon. I feel packed with full packed of my dad. Grandpa Rival says, well, one ice cream cone is one ice cream cone.
Is that right? He probably had to admire the, resourcefulness.
And
right?
your grandmother, she was the head of the house.
Oh.
Tell him.
No, I don't understand all this.
She was the boss. Don't you ever think so?
She run the thing.
You know, Grandpa says, I'm the boss.
But she spoke in German, says...
And when she said something, that's the way it was.
She was quite a woman, from what
I heard. Of course, I never knew her.
He just talked so highly of her just all the time.
She had Mabel and I hunt her glasses.
Well, is that the story that she leaves in the 40s?
Yeah, she came over here like this and couldn't find
her glasses.
Looking all over, they had Mabel and I looking for her.
Well, Mabel should be able to tell some things like
that. Mabel could tell you more because she was a little older than I was.
That's right. Isn't it too bad we can't get like Alma and Mabel and a few of the old ones all together?
Well, Alma,
Alma may remember back, Kelly.
Well, one thing you've got to remember something about people when they get Alma's age. they can usually remember
far back.
Far back, but they can't remember what happened.
You know what my mother did?
Yeah.
My mother got lost. I sent her down this next corner and two blocks this way.
To be a mother.
And she wasn't lost.
When I was about 4 or 5 years old.
About Grandma Reimer's.
Yeah. She always had, now Grandma Reimer's always had wine. She made wine about 15 to 30 gallons of wine every year. She grew her own grapes on this acreage. And you never drank fresh wine. It always had to be about 8 to 10 years old because she moved the cakes around in the wine cellar. And we go down.
And they had a wine cellar in that hole.
Oh, yes.
And she had kegs of wine?
Oh, yeah.
8 to 10 years old?
Oh, yeah. Always. Because they did a lot of entertaining in the railroad men.
They were kind
of high. Sorry, go that again.
They entertained a lot of the railroad men. You know, Posting had the roundhouse. That's where they tied up. East train and the west train.
Yeah.
And they go down the rest. They all ate the restaurant. The railroad crew would always eat. There were usually four crews in there. They'd eat at the restaurant. And everybody knew Grandma and Grandpa. They come down the house, but we had wine and lunch and all the rolls, baked goods and everything else that Grandma made. And I always went with her when she went down the basement to get the wine, because I liked to see she had rubber holes. She put that siphon in there and put it in her wine deal.
There you go.
Okay.
And I'm like, they found me at the trailer before. I went down and was sucking on the wine hose.
And they found you
passed out.
That was the last time you got to get on the winery? Wine cellar?
What happened?
I had a red face, but I had a red behind, too.
By whom?
Grandma.
Oh,
she with me.
Well, wait a minute. Where was my mother and father?
They were. Mother worked in the restaurant. And Dad worked in the dray line.
And Grandma took care of you, didn't he?
He had his own dray line, you know. Dad did.
I've forgotten that. I know
we
that.
Got pictures of
that
horses.
The team of horses they were so proud of. Those are those, what did you call those?
Clydesdales.
They were Clydesdales, but they were buckskins, weren't they?
No, they were bays.
Bays.
Yeah. He had a dray line, a mother cooked
it. But he owned the dray line?
Oh, yeah, he had his own for a while.
Hmm. Didn't know that.
And he went to work for old man Drew.
Well, that was a competitor?
Yeah, well, the old man, he had everything. Drew, you know Ollie Drew.
Yes.
Hit
you.
Mm-hmm. That was another thing. My mother's dad sent me this before you and Dale were born.
Speak a little louder.
I'm fine.
Before you and Dale were born, I always had to go to the grocery store or something. And Mother always sent me to Dad. Dad always had the money to get money for meat. So I went down and got a quarter for meat for a meal at night. And he told me, go get a quarter for the liver. So we went to Casey Brickwell.
Butcher shop. Sawdust on the floor.
Yeah, sawdust on the floor. So I went there and they didn't have no liver. So I went down to Dad. He said, well, give whatever you like. I went up to lunch and bought a quarter for the candy.
Yeah.
I took it home.
And you got a liquor, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, boy.
And then you're talking about liquor. Did.
Boy, did I get liquor. And after he thought about it, he felt sorry for it. He said, boy, I got a liquor behind. He said, well, I guess that's my fault. He said, I told him to do what he liked. Mm-hmm. He always tried to teach me to crawl. And we lived above the meat market.
Brett Walsh?
No. This was down where it is. Trying to think of his name. Well, anyway, besides Hartwell Butcher Shop. We never knew him. We lived above their butcher shop, an apartment up there. They was always trying to keep me out because when I didn't crawl, my hands and knees, when I did anything else, or I'd slide on my butt. And Dad always had beer. He always tells this story. He says, you know, he says, I set him over one man corner of the room, and I said, a bottle of beer or the other. He says, he crawled over to get it, and he's been crawling after it ever since.
My father said that about you.
Yeah.
Now, Bill,
this is something that you won't believe.
Yeah. We prayed about that at the funeral.
Our Annie Huff. She was married before you. Mabel's mother, real dad, named Huff. And, look, his dad had money. At one time, he owned most of the whole thing. Anyway, she married Charlie Hewitt. And there was two kids. Annie had two kids. He had Mabel and Myrtle. So they took the clothes after they got married and put it in the rig. I think it was horses. I think it was horses or lizards. It could have been a car. I don't know. They put Mabel clothes, Myrtle clothes, two kids. Annie got in the car. Charlie got in. He threw Mabel's clothes out and told her to get out and drove off and left her. That's why she don't like Charlie Hewitt.
See, I was unaware of that.
And that mother was up to mother and Grandma Limers, and Mabel said, don't you ever say anything about Marie Kelly. She said she was my mother.
How old was Mabel at that time?
Oh,
she was 8 or 9, wasn't she?
Something like that. See, Mabel and I, more like a brother and sister, we are a cousin.
That's what I understand.
And Grandma or some of the train men give us a nickel apiece. We go to the store. I buy a nickel with the candy, and Mabel would buy a nickel with the sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut?
We had the little carton. We had bulk sauerkraut. She bought sauerkraut. Said, buy a candy? She bought sauerkraut.
Hmm. And so she was raised by both our mother and Grandma Lamish. And then after
that. And then after a time, I don't know how old Myrtle was, she came down there. That's when Grandpa had the restaurant after he sold that one across the street. And she came down there and worked as a waitress.
Mabel to Myrtle? Myrtle did.
Mabel got married. She asked.
How old was Mabel when she got married? She must have been pretty young.
About 16, I think. 16 or 17. She got married on the park.
Hmm.
So that remembers the time that mother said that Mabel come and ask Grandpa Lyman if she could marry her.
She asked Grandma Lyman?
Grandpa
Lyman. And he said?
Yes. Grandma died before she got married.
Oh.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. So.
Did you live with your Grandma Reimer's house?
I stayed down there all the time.
You was there. Did they have another place? Your mother and dad had one place?
Oh, they stayed at the restaurant. Well, I was down at Grandma's most of the time.
Okay, now, before they came to hosting, they were in Manning. What did they do in Manning?
Grandpa Limers, I think, was on a farm in Manning.
And he met Grandma Limers in Manning, or did he meet her in Germany?
I don't know. I think he met her here. I don't know. I don't know.
Now, see, that Alma could tell you.
I'm not so sure.
I don't think so.
But they lived in Manning just a short time, right? A year or two. And then
they got married. I think the marriage certificate says Manning, Iowa. It
says Carroll.
Carroll,
Iowa. They probably went to county.
They give on there as
maybe he went to the big town of Carroll to get married.
The county courthouse.
Sure.
Did he give his occupation?
No, the marriage license never does.
No. That's the first thing.
That's why, again,
see your mother when your Grandpa Lyman was bootlegging.
Bootlegging?
Oh, well, how do you think?
That he made all his money.
Well, no, he didn't make his money that way, but he was bootlegging. He had little Why does he call it Hamburger? He never served a hamburger.
He called it the what?
Well, it was a little restaurant there. You know where the Ford Garage was?
Yes.
And the hotel, that little building in the back there?
Yeah.
That was a little restaurant, the Fry restaurant. Grandpa Ron was at after the other one closed. And all they would do is sell them spiked beer and alcohol. My mother would get so mad, because I remember your granddad was 71 years old, and I had to, 71 years old, I had to carry him home because he was drunk.
How could you carry him home? How old were you?
Well, you was alive.
Okay, so you were a big guy then.
He died, that was 10 years. Well, no, you was only 1 year old. And your mother would get so mad. She would go over there, PR was sitting there. Of course, Grandpa and his old cronies. He never charged for anything, and them old Dutchmen would come there and just laugh up the liquor off of Grandpa, never pay him for it.
And he was making it.
No, he wasn't making it, he was buying it.
Oh, he was buying it.
The ship came from Chicago. Your mother came over there, she knew where they had water pitchers, see? But they had, where you pour water glass in a restaurant?
Yeah. So
that wasn't water, that was alcohol.
That was white lightning.
That's what they spiked the beer with. Mother come over there, pour it down the sink.
Oh boy.
Oh gal. She know what the other was. She reached under the sink, got the other and poured it down the sink. Grandpa didn't say a word.
Not when she got mad.
Not when she got mad. When mother got mad, she was a boy. Grandpa never said a word. Old Pete Arthur said something, he was gonna hit mother with a cane.
And he thought better of it.
Grandpa had his case. Grandpa beat Art. She could throw the alcohol.
Now, was the Art was one of the relatives?
No.
That was not the Arps that we're talking about. Art, not Art.
Art came from the same place that Grandpa Ryan was. Did they know
the Arps and Galva?
Yeah.
That was
a relative. Yeah. But this Art and Holstein is not a relative. They come up there and boost him. Boy, I'm telling you, mother could, she poured that stuff down the sink. That was not what I was that word. Somebody picked up.
Why did she get angry about it?
Because he'd get drunk. She'd try to get him to quit drinking.
I see.
He was too old to be moving it up.
71 years old.
Yeah.
Does it run in the family?
I don't know. But no, that's
71 years old and he was drinking white lightning?
Well, it was prohibition time then.
I know that.
So they had alcohol and near beer.
Yes.
They spiked it.
And they spiked it with grain alcohol. Where did he buy the alcohol?
From the houseboys. They brought it in from Chicago.
Oh, they didn't have the still there.
No.
But with all the corn in the country, I figured they'd... Do you recall the story that Dad said about that some guy farmer had died, you know, when he had the dry line, and nobody discovered it. It was the middle of summer, and hadn't discovered the body in about 2 weeks. So this one was going to be ripe. So he pulled the dray out. And he said, before we go in his house, it's just a minute, and he reached down, he says, I think you better have a great big slug of this, because this one is ripe. And he says, Dad says he just took about half the bottle, and it was prohibition liquor. They opened the door, and the odor hit them, and they went to pick him up, and the meat came off all the bones, and he says, despite the liquor, he says, I came out of that house, and just... Ooh! All, just everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Also, he tells about going out during probation to some farmer that, I don't know how his contact was him, but the guy was making his own hooch. And he thought he was fooling his wife. Most men think they fool their wives. But where did he store it? He stored it in the manure pile. He says, Bill, you want a drink? And Bill says, yeah. He says, I'd kind of like to have a drink. He reaches in the manure pile, pulls it out, wipes it off with his hands. And
I know who that was.
I don't know who.
Chris Wilkie, I bet.
Probably. I remember him telling me that story.
just kind of rubbing it off, rubbing the top off, and then
he was about that. He was right.
Something else.
Huh?
There was something else that I remember.
You remember something else?
Yeah, while he was talking, and I wanted to hold off and counted it.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, I'm sure there are. All right, now let's go back again. Now, you went to the Lutheran church with Grandma Reimer.
Every Sunday with Grandma Reimer.
Mm-hmm.
That was all right. And when Grandma Reimer passed away, I still went to the Lutheran church, Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor says I couldn't come there anymore unless I was baptized.
And the folks didn't want you baptized?
Yeah, he made, because he wanted to force me to be baptized, so I went to the Methodist church.
And he sent you to the Methodist church?
Yeah.
Because he didn't want you forced to be baptized.
Well, you know, he didn't force your father to do anything.
Well, what was his attitude about, why was he concerned about baptism?
I don't know. It just made him mad.
Because wasn't he baptized in the Catholic Church?
Your father?
Yes.
No. Are you sure? I don't think so. Maybe he was. No,
okay. Now, I'm going to ring out.
He must have been.
Yeah.
Because he ran away from home.
I knew he ran away.
Because of... Tell him that.
Well, that one I know about the ear of corn whistling by his ear.
Right.
Now, how did Dad tell you why he ran away from home?
Well, he was out working in the garden or something, and the church fell. And he made a statement, something about high mass, about having money or something. I guess somebody heard him, was going to tell Grandpa.
Well, I heard it a little bit differently. He said they were holding, you know how they hold mass for someone that's been passed on years ago. And he made a crack about why are they praying for that old so-and-so
again. Yes, now that's the way it was.
Again. When he's been dead for so many years.
Well, I could have been it.
And he says he was in the garden, and he says his father overheard him, and an ear of corn came whistling by his ear, and he figured that's when he was leaving, and that's when he left and never went back.
That's true.
Now, well, I never heard about the ear of corn, but I did hear about that.
Did I ever tell you, or Dad ever tell you about the pet goat they had?
No.
I had a pet, well, it was all their pet goat. But Ike had a train. Ike could take his hat off. It's usually a straw hat. He'd wave that, and we'd make a run for it. And pull the hat away. So one day he was out playing, Grandpa Kelly was chopping the wood. And laying over the wood pile. And Ike sneaked up behind him, took his hat off behind Grandpa Kelly. And the goat seen it and knocked his ass over appetite. Grandpa took the axe and killed the goat. None of the kids had eaten meat for a month at the table.
Yeah.
Elaine and I. And they got it all fixed up. Just looked so cute.
But see, everybody in that town called Grandma Kelly a witch.
Elaine, yes, couldn't stand it.
She always wore long black dresses.
Great big old
hat. A great big old hat. And an overcoat.
Summer and winter.
Yeah. Elaine thought she was a witch. The kids thought she was.
Elaine thought she was a witch.
See, the arts play right up the road from her.
Just around the corner.
Chris and Ida Arp.
Now, I don't know who's Chris and Ida Arp.
Well, that's your mother's cousin.
It's related to your mother the same way as the...
I get so confused with Elaine, I cannot get it straight.
You can't? All right. Annie FitzHenry and Ida and Chris Arp were all brother and sister.
So?
She was an art.
And they...
That was Grandma Reimer's...
Elaine's mother is Grandma Reimer's... Elaine's...
Sister.
Annie FitzHenry's mother was a sister to...
Grandma Reimer.
Yeah. In other words, Elaine...
They were arts.
Yeah. Elaine's grandmother and your grandmother's...
Were sisters. Okay. Yeah. Now we got it.
Yeah.
So that makes us what?
About third or fourth cousins.
Okay.
Fourth cousins. No, wait a minute.
Annie FitzHenry, mother of first cousin, second cousin, and third cousin.
Okay, got that.
Push up like that, now we're recording.
Rumors about Grandpa being red-headed. You know what Grandpa's nickname used to be?
No.
The Red Prince. The Red Prince.
The Red Prince.
Yeah. So who named him?
Them old buzzards up there, the Holstein. Used to call him the Red Prince.
These huntlings.
Ask the huntlings.
The Chardon, or the Bongo. Now let's see. Kelly Custer, what was it?
Kelly who?
Custer. It's 90-year-old friend of mine. I'm trying to think.
What was
she now? On Tuesday, I go with you, but I promise I'm
not. No, that's all right. I'm just...
No, but I know a lot of the people.
Well, I know that. Yeah, you really do.
Where you could... run them down.
Okay, but
if I was free Tuesday, but I'm not, I don't want to just come home and know again. See, then Shirley and I could have followed you guys down, and we could have went to Ron Breathernet with you and had fun, if she wasn't going with you. And her and I could have come back, and you could have gone on to where they were going.
We might be going to Breed on Wednesday. We'll call and let you know before what time we're going to be back. Jim Ewling is the barber, right? And I'm supposed to say that I know you.
I just say Jim Ewling was the barber, and Arnold Gunder got the book for me from the barber.
From the barber, I see. Okay.
Tell who I am.
You know, Leroy Custer.
And Walter Custer.
And Walter Custer, and
of
Tilly. Okay. The year Peter Broxson was married is on his gravestone in Westside Cemetery, correct?
The year he was born, we want to know.
Yeah, the year he was born.
That'll tell us
the year they came over from
on
Germany.
On the Princess?
What name was the ship?
No, we late.
Check that. William was born from the second marriage.
Second marriage. 73 or 74 years old in 1977.
Wait a minute, 73 or 74 years over in what year?
1977.
Okay, in 1977. But we'll check William's gravestone in the Westside Cemetery, and then we'll have the exact date. Okay, and the name of the ship was the Patricia. Okay.
Oh, it's Betty and Bert. Every Christmas, you know, they would always come down to our place, you know, for Christmas. Grandma was there. No, not Grandma. Grandpa was there. Betty, Vern, Phillips, Dad, Mother, I don't think Dale was a real small kid then. We lived in back Lemke grocery store, that first house. And of course, first thing, you know, they get Dad to sing. Well, everything was going fine because he was singing an Irish song first to Bert and Phillips. Now, first thing, you know, he'd be Dad and swing in the same gentleman. I didn't go to be that Irish. And one word led to the next, and I was just a little kid watching. Out there, Grandpa Lyons and Bernard Phillips were going to start swinging at each other. Going to fight. Grandpa had his cane, was going to hit D.A. Phillips in the head. It comes to such a deal that Phillips was studying that. Phillips didn't come down for a long time because he was so mad. Because he got so mad because Dad was singing German. And he was singing Irish songs, he was fine. But, I mean, it's just...
Dad knew both Irish and German, so...
Your dad was a good fan.
And you say when he was... I don't know what year it was. When he was working with this medicine show, he was a ticket taker.
Dad was sold tickets. And after the tickets are sold, he'd go in and act on the stage.
What kind of an acting, you don't know?
This was regular... medicine show. They had regular plays for the people that come in to see the medicine shows. Mm-hmm. And after the medicine shows,
then he would sing. And then after the end, then after the shows is over, of course your audience is there. And the only reason medicine show is there, they had, you know, bottles of medicine, and he'd go out in the crowd and sell medicine too. But he had all kinds of jobs.
Well, did he go all over the country or where?
Well, all over this part of the country, yeah.
All over the middle.
That's how he comes to hosting for the medicine show.
I bet that made Grandpa Reimers happy that this guy from this medicine show was chasing after a couple of his daughters.
I imagine.
Huh?
I imagine.
I can imagine the Roten Prince was a little unhappy with his Irishman chasing after Afric Alma and then...
You know where they went, see? He says, Alma told us, she says, I had a date with Bill Kelly first, but he went up to high school, sat on there, and he was too damn wild for me. And she said, I took off and started running.
That's these guys that come into town with these shows, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be an interview of Dean.